Gracious God, open our ears and our hearts to receive the word that you would bring to us this day, that it may guide our days and all of our ways, for we pray that our thoughts are acceptable in your sight, O Lord, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The book of Ecclesiastes says that there is an appropriate time for every season or every matter in its season. One particular item that's on that list is the idea of a time to mourn, a time to mourn and a time to laugh. The truth is, sometimes we get these two mixed up. When my kids were growing up, it used to drive Lynn and I crazy that little giggles would arise from our children at inappropriate times. Little things, like in the midst of a celebration of some kind, when it was quiet, there would be this giggle that would come. I can remember, I'm going to tell my wife a little bit, I can remember looking out in the back of the church some mornings, and my wife and kids would sit in the back and sit together. And right in the moment I was going to make an important point in my lesson, I look up and my children are, you can see them snickering and laughing and Linda nudging them one way or another. This morning we get a tale within a tale. It's a kind of narrative sandwich made of two stories woven together. The story begins with a desperate father, a leader of the synagogue, pleading with Jesus to come and heal his critically ill daughter. Apparently it's no laughing matter. She is very ill and the father is very frantic. The story is then interrupted by Jesus' encounter with a woman who had been ill for 12 years of some sort of chronic bleeding. The woman believes that if she just touches Jesus' clothes, she will be healed. And so she weaves her way through the crowd, trying to be unnoticed, and reaches out in the midst of several other reaching hands. Jesus feels this strong connection to this touch. He stops everything that he's doing and he asks, "Who touched me?" Now his disciples were there. In effect, they were saying, "Well, you've got to be kidding. We're supposed to be able to tell you who touched you in the midst of all of these people. Everyone's got their hands on you. It's kind of a ridiculous question." They don't laugh out loud, but I doubt that they were taking Jesus' question very seriously. But in spite of all that, we discover that the woman finally is healed. Attention then turns back to the first story. Some of the mourners have come to tell the father that his daughter has died. There's no longer any point in having Jesus come and to heal her. We can almost feel the despair that must be in this father's heart. But to this news, Jesus tells the crowd that she is not dead. She is only sleeping. Again, sleeping? We know the difference between sleeping and dead. And the scripture actually tells us that they laugh at him. But right there in front of everyone, Jesus says, "No, she is only sleeping." And he goes in, and she is healed. These mourners here and these disciples here are not the first to scoff at what God is doing. If we think back into the Old Testament and remember Abraham and Sarah, each one of them in turn laughed at God when he said that they were going to have a child at their old age, that they would become forebears of a great multitude, of a nation, in fact. They had to laugh because the promise for them was impossible. Like old Abraham and Sarah, these mourners, I believe, don't take Jesus very seriously. And why should they? They know about death. Death was all too frequent and unwelcome in the homes of the old and the young of those days. This girl was dead. There was nothing more that could be done. But what the crowd fails to recognize or realize is who this is that is standing in front of them, and that God, and with God, all things are possible. And if you'll excuse the pun, God was about to prove them dead wrong. In spite of the ridicule of the mourners, Jesus goes into the house and restores life to this little girl. The top and the bottom of this narrative sandwich is the story of the little girl and her illness. Inside that is the woman who was seeking healing from her affliction for 12 years but could find no relief. At first glance, we might not see any connection between the two of these stories. That is until the very end of the story where Mark tells us that the little girl was 12 years old. Suddenly, we might think of a connection. The woman had been sick for 12 years, and the little girl was 12 years old. So we begin to look for other connections. The woman who had been considered ritually unclean and threatens to spread her uncleanness by touching Jesus is addressed by Jesus as daughter. And in some of the translations, as we read this, the little girl is addressed as daughter when Jesus reaches out to touch her. So those two connections bring our story closer together. Two needy outsiders are both now called daughters of God. Different from the disciples and the crowd, both the woman and the father of this little girl take Jesus seriously. Their faith is in him. They trust in him. They believe what he can do. Jesus can restore life, and so they kneel before him with their request. Thinking of that number 12, I think it might stand for a kind of sign that there is abundant life in Jesus, not only for an unclean woman or a dead girl, but for the 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 disciples, and even more for all the world, for all of us. This interwoven story clues us that in Jesus we find grace, we find comfort, we find healing, and that this Jesus is loose in the world around us with the power to provide abundant life for those who have faith. In Psalm 113, the psalmist says, God raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes of God's people. God gives the barren woman a home, making her the joyous mother of children. At the end, those who doubted and those who laughed are left in speechless amazement. I believe Mark awakens us to the abundant healing grace of God in Jesus Christ. In Jesus, there is hope, there is life, there is community for all. Meanwhile, we tend to let the gospel out in little dribs or in drabs. We can be like the disciples who try to keep the little children away from Jesus. We can be like the disciples who didn't want to share their food with the crowd because they were afraid there wouldn't be enough for them. Too often we are a bit stingy with God, with the things that God gives so lavishly. We worry about who deserves what. Who deserves our help, our food, our time, our money, our attention. All too often we carefully calculate the conditions under which we would go to forgive someone. And meanwhile, when we are least expecting it, the Holy Spirit moves in, slips behind us, and pours out a river of grace, regardless of what we think. I think it's a good thing that God didn't ask permission, whether we deserved it or not, when he sent the Spirit to knock some sense into our lives. Jesus calls us to emulate his behavior, a behavior of offering hope and healing grace ourselves. He calls us to move away from the thoughts of disillusionment or objection and fear to ideas of hope and possibility and the sharing of grace. We are called to share care and concern, healing and hope, as Jesus did and as Jesus does. We are called to be serious in accepting and emulating God's promises to us. I've often been amazed at the working of the Holy Spirit. It comes forth in so many ways. There are many congregations out who provide homes or foods or shelter for homeless individuals. While I was serving the church in St. Louis, there was a man whose name was Bill who lived under the underpass that was right next to the church. The train would go through there daily, several perhaps, and he would always be huddled there protecting himself, but that's where he lived. And it was so close to the church that often people would see him coming forth or going back to his place. Occasionally, Bill would come to the church office and ask for some help. It was usually for just a bit of food or some way that we could offer him some kind of assistance. And it became almost a regular thing, and people in the church began to become concerned. They were concerned about safety and were wondering what could happen if this stranger stayed around. But members soon discovered that by bringing Bill things that he needed, that Bill would become a part of the congregation. He showed up in worship. He participated in some of the events. And the church began to own him as their own, so to say, until to the point where they finally got him an apartment and moved him into his own home. Bill was invited to share in so many activities that this became his place as well as ours. We had a similar experience here at Bethlehem with a young woman who was living in our parking lot in her car for a while, and we offered and reached out to her to give her help. When we experience or witness the abundance of God's grace, we can't help but be amazed by the power of God. God has a very transforming way of dismissing our laughter, changing that into moments of joy, of changing our skepticism into speechless amazement. When it happens for us, as it did for this grieving father and this woman ostracized by the community, we know what it is to be made well. The gospel scripture is full of witnesses where if we were to take Jesus seriously, we would hear his promises and know that they are true. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. If you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Nothing in all creation can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. I will wipe every tear from your eyes, and death shall be no more. The promises of God. With attitudes like the crowd that was around Jesus in our lesson, their response might be, well, what? Is this true? How can it be? Are you kidding me? But we realize through our faith that what Jesus is saying is true. And all he asks of us is that we trust in him and believe what he has said. This morning we saw that those who were skeptical or those who were dismissive almost missed the very power of God at work in their midst. It is my prayer that we keep our hearts and minds open to the possibilities that God might place before us. Amen.